You're listening to Made Theory. This is a show where you'll learn the ups and downs of growing a business, the lefts and rights of marketing, and the ever-changing world of advertising. In large part, this show will cover the theory of how people made it. Let's
go! On this episode, we discuss the FaceApp data giveaway debacle and the future of coffee shops.
How many FaceApp pictures are you seeing in your Facebook timeline? By the way, actually, before that, this is the first podcast I've ever done without being on coffee.
Ooh.
Biggest drug.
This is my first podcast being on coffee.
No way.
So nice. Buckle in, folks.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I gave up coffee yesterday. It's been a terrible ride so far. Had a headache this morning. Tried to go for a run, and then it was just like on my head the whole entire run.
I feel like my ADD goes a little haywire if I drink
too much coffee
because I'm like, oh, I can do two or three things at once. Mm-hmm. And you think you're doing them, but you're not.
No, you're just going nuts. All right. So have you, how much of this FaceTime stuff have you seen in your newsfeed? FaceApp.
I've seen a lot of it. I saw the conspiracy behind it being some type of hack before I saw the even.
Did you download the actual
images and stuff? No, haven't touched it.
Nice. I put your picture in there for you. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you.
I already uploaded it if you want to see.
Is that, you can do that?
Yeah, you can upload. God. That's the thing. We'll talk about that in a second, but I have a funny story. So I was scrolling through my feed and this girl that I haven't talked to in a while, I saw her picture with the FaceApp thing and I commented how poorly she aged. And like 4 hours later, I forgot, or I basically said, I just made a joke basically, right? Like, oh man, get a good face cream or something. And then like 4 hours later, I got a notification from this name I didn't recognize at all. And it was actually the real picture of the girl's mom. And I was so programmed to seeing all these stupid face app things in my newsfeed.
Gnarly.
She's like, what's that supposed to mean? Oh. I just deleted the comment. But yeah, it's crazy because now when I look at Facebook or something, I feel like everybody's using it and I see my grandparents on there and I'm like, who is this? It's my friend. And then I have to look at the name.
Yeah.
But I think the whole conspiracy of being worried about the name, the faces being the property of the app or whatever, or the Russian government is silly for a couple reasons. Number one, you can upload anybody's face to it. So everyone in the whole world is probably already on there. Every celebrity, the president, like everybody's doing it to other people. So it doesn't really matter.
And I think a lot of people don't have that typical mindset where if it's something that you're using for free, something is being sold, you know,
right.
whatever that app is, you know,
Facebook, you're giving up your freedom of not viewing ads against your will to use their app for free, and people have already complained about that. And then with this, though, it's like, you know, I think people have this misunderstanding that they can do whatever they want with your image. They still can't break the law. You haven't given them the right to commit identity theft against you. That's illegal. Regardless, if you say they can use your photo in their app, they can't go open a credit card in your name because they have a picture of you. So I think, you know, there are creepy things that they could do with your data. Like they could probably run ads with your face that you might not want out there. Imagine like probably 50% of the population did the face app thing like while they're on the toilet. Chris brought some new data to the table.
What do we got?
The company said, I read this before too, the company said, I think within 24 or 48 hours, most content's deleted from their service. Because you also have to think about this. As much as like John Abrams in Louisiana is so worried that the Russians are going to use his face, they don't fucking care about him at all. And they're paying a lot of money to store all of these nobodies in their system, right? So it does make sense that they're doing that. And the company has come out publicly and said, we're deleting everything every 48 hours. And still, you know, I guess what Chris just showed me is there are just people questioning that because there's no way to really validate or check on it. But at the end of the day, I think it's just, you said this earlier, Alex, it's just a way to get us all worried, like always, just like the last election. And
what I was going to say is like, there's like this little hint of like, that same feeling when you were watching like 9/11 happen and you're like, wow, I never thought of this. And this is so obvious.
Yeah, this could happen to Austin tomorrow.
Kind of the same thing you're seeing with this is like people all of a sudden get like, is this it?
Right.
Is this the thing?
Right.
Which is the scary part. But truthfully, what we're talking about, there's really nothing there that's tangible for them, you know, to threaten.
It's using fear as terrorism, basically, so that we get divided and we fight over it and we stop using apps.
On that topic, have you guys seen the previews for the Netflix series that's coming out about the documentary about data? And
no.
Oh, man. It's supposed to be a social media killer kind of thing, you know, because they're just revealing how ads work and how, you know, and how your data
stuff
works.
We've known for years.
And there was a point, I think it was like in somewhere between 2010 and 2015, where the price of data was actually higher than the price of oil. So it kind of reached that peak, and then it was that much more interesting, and that's why you continuously see this boom in tech all the time. It's because of this reason.
Have you seen what Amazon's doing with data?
No.
They're offering people Chris, if you want to look this up, I believe it's $10 a month or $50 a month.
To keep you.
To basically have access to your computer and follow you around everywhere that you go on the internet. Which is funny because it's kind of already happening with Facebook and
they're
Google. They're just not telling you. You're consenting to it. So at least Amazon's paying you to do it. Would you sign up for that? Would you take $10 a month to give
it's
Amazon?
It's interesting. Like if you could get 100,000 people to do it, you'd probably get some really interesting data back, you know, because now you're like following everything they're doing.
Yep.
So from the company standpoint, it's just kind of cool. And the fact that they're open about it and like, well, we're going to pay you too for this.
Yep.
It is kind of a cool little position on it rather than them, you not having any idea. And then surprise one day you're like, I have this data thing that's worth, you know, $50,000. I could sell it to Google.
Right.
That'd be cool.
What'd you learn, Chris?
I actually got this notification last week from Amazon. They said if you upload photos or a photo to our system, we'll give you $10 Amazon credit. So I uploaded just some like memes, not even of me.
They gotcha.
And I got the $10 credit.
Nice.
But this says shoppers were offered a $10 credit in exchange for handing over their browser data.
There we go. That's what I was thinking. Oh, so it's only a one-time $10 credit. That's it. There's not even an ongoing. See, what I was thinking, the value of your data to businesses and marketers, I think it's possible for a cell phone company to create an entire cell phone network where the service is free if you consent to them, that cell phone company selling your data to all of the businesses. Because think about all the data that Google does not collect. The various apps that you might use,
right.
The notes you scribble on.
Because they do follow laws. Like,
right.
That's why they get called up to, you know, the U.S. government to answer questions.
Right. So if you could just consent for them to go beyond where they normally would go, that data would be extremely valuable. Like, I wonder if it'd be interesting for, there are so many companies out there that would benefit to know who takes how many pictures per day. Like, the average man takes, or, you know, 30 to 41 takes X amount of pictures. The average female, 24 to 30 takes less pictures, more pictures. So, this coffee thing is tough.
Really?
Ready for an espresso shot. I've had a cup of coffee a day for at least the last 10 years, every single day. I've never missed a day.
It's wild.
Yeah. Addicted. It's a drug.
It's $150,000.
If you think about it, oh my God, let's look at that. It's I usually spend about $4.20 the coffee shop times 365. This is if I go once a day. I usually go two or three times a day, but let's just say once a day times 10 years. It's $16,000 in coffee. Wow. Mm. So right now, I'm basically withdrawing off of 10 years of using a drug. That's insane.
It's like, what, 60% of the U.S. probably is in that same boat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And most people probably do two or three a day, their lattes and their whatevers.
It's interesting when you think about it that way, that there should be plenty of room for competition in the coffee realm with Starbucks. And I think there is. Like, on the West Coast, there's other really well-known Pete's.
Coffee Bean.
Coffee Bean. It's like...
I feel like the whole chain model is going away. The whole popularity of Starbucks in general, I see locally, at least, the local coffee shops look like they're doing much better. I don't know the data behind it, but I think the value of a franchise, it's coffee. I think the value of a franchise is going to go way down in the near future, or the model of franchising will change. I think a brand will create a general model, like a coffee shop, for example. They'll have a menu and recipes, but I think they would be better off basically creating localized brands in various markets. So like Starbucks might open a franchise in Austin, but they would call it something else. They would brand it for Austin. People would think it's a local coffee shop, but it would be owned by Starbucks. I think that's the next move for fast food and
that'd be cool.
Coffee and pizza. Because people don't want to go to Olive Garden and Outback Steakhouse and Starbucks and McDonald's and Burger King anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go to P. Terry's and Summer Moon in Austin, in LA.
I think that's how like a company like Starbucks could make places, they can contribute to developing cities and stuff, you know, even better. Like, instead of putting 25 Starbucks in a 5-mile radius, they go and they say, oh, hey, you're making coffee here, or you have a coffee shop here. We're going to invest in your shop and we want you to grow it.
And they own a part of the profit, but they also are investing to help them really get off their feet and grow. Exactly. And they bring some of their menu and some of their expertise to the table.
And then they learn from maybe this mom and pop shop does something a little unique with their whipped cream.
Yep.
And then they expand that across their other locations and stuff.
That'd be super smart. I think they should do that immediately. Thank you for listening to Made Theory. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Made Theory Show.